Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
But anyway, want to get into this thing, guys. I want to talk about Steve. Good to see you on here, man. Lewis, good to see you. Chris, Michelle, Amanda, good to see you. Linda, good to see you. Bobby, good to see you. And many other individuals. Jessica, I know she's on here. Nicole, good to see you. Kelly, good to see you from Kentucky. I want to talk about pearls for saints and seed for swine. And I know this is going to be an interesting title, but I'm going to save some folks some heartache, some pain, and a lot of drama if I can do that today. So I want to teach you something that I have personally learned by experience. And when I dug into the Word of God, I began to confirm what I'm about to share with you. And that is that there is the Word of God is for everyone. The Bible says that all creation, you know, it says that the Lord commissions us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And those that accept the gospel shall be saved. And those who don't shall be damned. That's the Word of God. But I would say that there is certain levels of the Word of God that is not for everyone. And I'm going to prove that today. So our context here is going to be Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. I'm sorry, Matthew 7, 6. If you would, please turn there with me. If you have your Bible, if not, you can follow along. And I'm going to go from, I'm going to be using two translations in this message. I'm going to be using the New King James, and I'm going to be using the New Living Translation. And the reason why is that is because I like how the New Living Translation brings out some of the emphasis of what I want to show you today. Do not give, this is Matthew 7, 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, somebody say dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, somebody say swine, lest they trample them under their feet and they turn and tear you in pieces. Now notice there's some things that we got to break down here. First of all, there's two types of animals that are mentioned in this text. There's dogs and there's swine. You'll find these two interchanged a lot in the New Testament. They're used to describe certain characteristics of individuals. For example, a dog is used to describe one who is impure, one who is unclean, and one who is unsanctified. Even in the book of Proverbs, it says a man who returns to his own folly, or he goes back to his old bondage. He goes back to his old lifestyle. He goes back to his old addictions. He goes back to the mud and the mire and the filth in which God delivered him out of. The word of the Lord says in Proverbs that it's like a dog returning to his own vomit. Okay, so we see this picture of it's unclean, it's disgusting. And even in the Word of God, it talks about where a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, comes to Jesus and she asks for her daughter to be delivered. And the Lord calls her a dog. Read it in your Bible. And she says, yes, my master, but even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So this was a very derogatory term when we use this. Now the word swine, you can find this interchange in the New Testament, and it basically is in the same connotation as dog here. It's impure, it's unclean, it's unsanctified, it's filthy. You go to the Levitical dietary laws, the book of Leviticus, which is found in the Torah in the Old Testament. A swine or pigs were not permissible for us to eat. They were considered to be unclean. So when you hear the word dog or swine, when it's used in context or used as an analogy towards an individual, it is basically alluding to an unclean, unpure, or unsanctified individual. And the Lord says, now let me read this in the New Living Translation. Now, having known this and understand this, let me read this again from the New Living Translation. This is Jesus speaking. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Let me say that again. This is so good, guys. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. And then he says, and don't throw your pearls to pigs, for they, now he says they meaning dogs and pigs, not just one or the other, but they will trample the pearls under their feet. They will turn around and they will attack you. Now, that which is holy is that which is sacred. Pearls, when we see the word pearls here, it alludes to a pearl is something or something that is of great worth, value, or is a rarity. All right? So I want to show you something here. When we go to Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn there, you can. Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Watch this. Paul is addressing the church of Philippi, and he says, watch out for those dogs. Now, he wasn't talking about the St. Bernards or the German Shepherds or the Doberman Pinschers. He was talking about individuals, a specific group of individuals. He says in Philippians 3, verse 2 through 3, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators. Listen to this, that say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in the flesh. So in other words, Paul is alluding to individuals and calls them dogs who he himself identifies as evil, and calls them another strong term in the Greek called mutilators, who are basically implying that unless you be circumcised, and this is under the new covenant, you'll by no means be saved. So they were trying to put people back under, watch this, the law of circumcision. Now, you understand that we did a whole segment on this because there's preachers out there, there's shepherds out there, there's evangelists out there, there's teachers out there that will get up behind pulpits and get up on YouTube and get up on social media, and they will tell you that we're no longer under the law, and the law has been done away with. We do not preach the Old Testament. We don't preach the Torah. And I said, again, I'm not going to go through all this for sake of time, but I've told you that Christ fulfilled the ceremonial and sacrificial laws. He fulfilled those, but the moral and civil laws are still intact. Now, the law of circumcision. Now, I know we circumcise both of our sons. Both of our sons are circumcised, but are they going to be saved if they were not circumcised? Absolutely not. Because we know, because again, Paul addresses and he says circumcision is of the spirit and not of the flesh. Okay? So we are not under that the law of circumcision here under the new covenant. This is one of those things that has been fulfilled through the Holy Spirit. We are circumcised through the Spirit, the circumcision of the heart and not of the flesh. However, if you feel in your heart that this is something that you want to do to honor God for your sons, then by all means, please do that. Again, howbeit, that's what we did. We circumcised our sons because I felt that this was something that I wanted to do to honor the Lord. But for someone to stand up and say, watch this, if you do not circumcise your sons, it doesn't matter if they accept Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if they're baptized in water. It doesn't matter if they're filled with the Holy Ghost. They will not make it into heaven. Listen, you've got whole groups of individuals that will tell you, unless you unless you are saved under a particular denomination, whether it be the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, come on, the Church of God of Prophecy, and we could go on and on and on and name different denominations, then if you're not saved under their particular denomination, then you're truly not saved. Or if you were, and I can open a whole can of worms on this, guys. You've got all these debates on baptism, on whether we should be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and it's got to be Jesus only, and it's got to be this, and it's got to be submersion and not sprinkling. It's got to be this, it's got to be that. So Paul talks about these individuals, and he calls individuals who frustrate the grace of God and try to put such demands on people to receive salvation. He calls these individuals evil and dogs, okay? So here's the connotation of what I'm trying to tell you. You've got individuals out there that I consider to be, oh, come on, and I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. But these individuals have a form of godliness. Okay, they will claim to be religious. They will say that they are religious, but they will try to put people under such bondage. And I would venture to say traditions of men that they frustrate the grace of God and they frustrate the goodness of God to the point where no one can, who then can be saved? Okay, so I'm talking about pearls before saints and seed before swine. Now, this was just the introduction, really, to get to where I want to go. Now, I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. And here's the irony of this. Even while I teach this, you will get the dogs and you will get the swine who will try to attack me for what I'm trying to tell you today, because they are not willing or not able, I should say, or mature enough to receive what I'm about to share with you. And I'm going to prove that. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitudes were gathered together. Somebody say a great multitude. Now, what does this mean? This means there was men. This means there was women. This means there was children. This means there was all kinds. There was tall people, there was short people, there was fat people, there was skinny people, there was different ethnicities. There was probably Jewish people there. There was probably predominantly Jewish people. But again, it never really goes in to say who these people are, but it says there's a great multitude. And back then, when they counted the individuals, they did not count women and children. They counted men only. You'll find this when the feeding of the 5,000, not including women and children, they didn't add women and children in the counts. But nevertheless, it says there was a great multitude. So this is all that would come gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat. He sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables. Somebody say he spoke in parables. And then we all know this. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed, and the seed fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places that did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was there, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root within themselves, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Let him who has ears to hear what he has to say. Now listen to this. If you go down to verse 10, it says, and the disciples, now watch this, you had the multitudes. Let me go back to this analogy that I've been doing this for months. You had them, the multitudes, and then you had us, which is the disciples. Again, there's always a distinction between us and them. So you had the multitudes. There was the multitudes there. The seed was sown of the word of God. Everybody getting this? The gospel message. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is given to all that would believe. That's the multitudes. That's everyone. But then the disciples came to him. There's a distinction. And they said, why do you speak to them? Do you hear that? Why do you speak to them in parables? Come on, guys, this is some good stuff here. And he answered and said to the disciples, because it has been given to you, the disciples, the followers of Christ, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, who has it been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom? Us or them? Us. Come on, somebody. I'm going to answer it for you. Us, not them. In other words, the seed is for them, but the pearls is for us. Golly. Let me say that again. Why are you slamming your desk? Because I'm excited. I get excited about the Word of God. The seed is for all. It's for the multitudes. The seed of the Word of the Gospel is for them, but the precious things, the holy things, the mysteries of God, the deep things of God are for us. This is why when a man of God gets up, and I don't do this very often anymore, because to be honest with you guys, the following that we have on our ministry, I know there's an exception with many of you guys here, and a lot of you is of us, but when you go to the main End Time Headlines website, howbeit Facebook, there is a lot of individuals that they don't have an understanding of the deep things of God, and they are one of the quickest ones to attack something they don't understand. Now, did Jesus not say that if you cast what is holy and you cast pearls before swine, and he talked about who these were, he said the dogs and the swine, he said they will trample precious things under their feet, and then they will turn around and attack you. This is why I just sit back. When you start preaching messages on the signs of the coming of the Lord, the signs and the cosmic signs in the heaven, when you talk about certain strange events that happen on cyclical dates, on Hebraic dates, and you start getting into all these things, guys, I'm telling you, you'll get the multitudes who will hear what you're saying, and they will trample it under their feet. They will attack it. They will ridicule it. They'll mock it. They'll scourge it. They'll do everything they can, and then they'll turn around, and they will attack you. They'll blast you. They'll get on YouTube, Facebook, social media. They'll call you a heretic. They'll call you a false prophet. They'll call you a charlatan. They'll call you all kinds of names, that, and the whole basis is because they don't understand the mysteries of God. I got to get into this. Let me read on. But it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now we're not bashing them, because you know what? What's keeping them from becoming us? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Deep calls unto deep, as the deer panteth for the water. Oh, my soul longs for him. God is reaching out to all of us. Our own understanding and revelation of the Word is contingent upon our own level of hunger. To whom much is given, more will be given. Come on. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, let he who desires discernment, let him cry out. In the book of James, it says, if any man lacks of wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He's waiting on you, friends. Even in the book of Daniel, it says, as we get closer and closer to the time of the end and the return of the Messiah, it says those who know the truth, those that are born again, those that are in the kingdom, they will have an understanding of the times and seasons in which we're in. But it says that the wicked, the unholy, the dogs, the swine, come on, the unclean, they will not know what is going on, and they will just continue in gross darkness. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. Now, he's not talking about money here. I know prosperity preachers have gotten up and they use that as a some type of, they twist that scripture and contort it to mean some type of abundance of prosperity. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless us, but that has no context of what he's talking about here. If we put this in context, to him who's given more and have an abundance, he's talking about the understanding or the revelation or the knowledge of God, the understanding of the mysteries of God. He said, whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Come on. This is what he's talking about when the seed of the word of God goes forth and the birds of the air, which represent evil spirits, will come in quickly and take it out of your heart. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they don't see and hearing they don't hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Guys, there was a group of Pharisees and teachers of the law that was standing with Jesus, and Jesus looked at them and their beady little eyes and said, you hypocrites, you can look at the sky and tell when it's about to storm, but you can't even discern the times and the seasons in which we're in. Come on, that's what he's talking about here. And listen to this. And in the, I got to read this, verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why that is. Because most Christians don't want to hear the deep things of God. They don't even want to hear the word of God. Come on, most churches in America you go to, they don't even preach the word of God. They just get up and tell stories. And they're life coaches behind the pulpits and they're motivational speakers. But you get a man of God up there and start expounding from the word of God, from the Hebrew and from the Greek and from the, come on, and start preaching on the parables of God, the seasons of God, the cycles of God, the types and shadows of God. And you start letting him preach on that. I'm telling you, these people will look at him like he's done lost his mind. Why do you think a preacher can get up behind the pulpit and say that we no longer need the Old Testament because it's not relevant today? And people just stand up, yay, yay, amen, preacher. We don't need the Old Testament. The dumbest thing I've ever heard of. What do you think the disciples was preaching when the Gospels were written? There was no New Testament, guys. They were quoting from the Torah. They were quoting from the law and quoting from the prophets and the Psalms and the Proverbs. Come on. If we'd done away with the Old Testament, you would do away with the entire story of creation. You're doing away with the minor and major prophets. You're doing away with the Psalms. You're doing away with the Proverbs. You're doing away with all pictures and scriptures that deal with the messianic predictions and the prophecies that were foretold of the Messiah. You eliminate all of that, friends, then you are absolutely treading on dangerous ground, friends. And it's sandy ground that believers are going to sink through because there's no solid foundation. All scripture is given by God and has been inspired by the Lord for the equipping of the body. Now listen to this. But the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. They don't want to hear. And their eyes, they've closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and you did not hear it. Guys, think about this for a second. Think about how blessed we are as a generation. We are inundated with the word of God. I mean, we've got so many translations that I can't even count them anymore. I've lost track of them. We've got every method of hearing and reading the word of God. We can listen to it. We can hear it. We can read it. We can get it in book form. We can get it on our tablets. We can get it on our iPads. We can get it on our cell phones. We can get it in a desktop, a laptop. We can get it in CD. We can get it in DVD. We can get it in every form, facet. There is not a famine of the Word of God in our generation, friends. There's a famine of people that's getting up preaching the whole Word of God. Now, I want to show you this. 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 7. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 7. Listen to this. Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. He says, who is Paul and who's Apollos? Two different ministers. Watch this. But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. Now listen what Paul says. I planted what? The seed. He planted the seed. Apollos came and watered the seed. How? Through prayer and through intercession and through discipleship and equipping. Watch this. I planted, Paul speaking, Apollos came and watered it, but God gave the increase. And so neither is he who plants anything and he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. But don't miss what I'm trying to tell you. He's talking about the seed of the Word of God. See, when you're at your work or you're with your family or you're out at lunch or you're at a game or you're here or you're there, everyone around, the multitudes around you need to hear the seed of the Word. And how do we plant a seed? Some of you, a conversation will come up and you can just share the goodness of God. You can share your testimony. The Bible says, let your light so shine among them that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. For some of you, it's your attitude. It's your lifestyle. It's your attributes. It's your characteristics that are shining and burning before men. And it's seed that's being planted into their hearts. It's seed to the multitudes. But then once the seed is watered and God begins to give the increase and they begin to mature in the Lord and they go from the milk to the meat, then you can begin to transition them. They don't need the seed anymore. They need the pearls of the Word of God. Now listen, Psalms 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Daniel 2:47. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Now, again, let's go back to that story. Here's Daniel that was set out and set apart from all of the rest of the multitudes. Daniel could interpret the secret things of God in which the sorcerers could not, all those individuals that came to Nebuchadnezzar and they tried to interpret the dreams. So he began to call the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and the enchanters, and he began to call all these individuals, and none of them could tap into or understand the secrets of God. But out of all of them, there was one who was him, and it was Daniel. Now, Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Listen, there's things in you and I's life that God will purposely keep concealed or hidden for a season. Because don't ask me why, guys. I'm not God. But I'm going to tell you, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, it's one thing to say he's a rewarder of those who seek him. If we seek him, we'll get a reward. But that's not what he said. He said he's a rewarder of those who diligently. That one word changes everything. Because the word diligently there is a whole different level. Because again, he sees the diligence. He sees the pursuit. He sees the tenacity. He sees, come on, he sees the desperation that you have in seeking out a matter. And then here's the cool thing about God. He says for his glory, he conceals something, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. It's almost like a game of cat and mouse. God conceals secrets and he conceals mysteries. He conceals things about my life and your life that we would never unlock and we would never discover unless we entered into a season of diligence through prayer, through intercession, through fasting, through separating ourselves apart and from the clutter and from the noise so that we can hear clearly, that we can discern clearly, that we can see clearly. It's the separation of us and them. It's acceptable. Separation of the swine and the dogs versus those who would receive the pearls versus the seed. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. So I'm trying to recap this. Again, seed is for everyone, but pearls is not for everyone. Let me just throw this out at you. Out of the multitudes, Jesus appointed 70. But then, watch this, he cast the seed and drew in a harvest. And out of the harvest, he appointed 70. But let me back up there. He cast some seed, drew in a harvest. But then when he began to hand out pearls, because many were not willing, nor were they able to discern and mature. They were not mature to understand the pearls and understand the deep things of God. Howbeit, let me show you an example. When Jesus was handing out fish and bread, you had multitudes, 5,000, not including women and children. That's a lot of folks, guys. That's a lot of people. But then when he began to cast out debt, when he began to talk about casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, come on, and doing these things, it quickly went from the multitudes to 70. What shaved them off? I'm going to tell you what it was, because he started handing out pearls. But then we find over in the book of John, he began to shave it down a little bit more because he began to talk about, unless you eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. And what did they say, guys? They said, my God, he's talking about cannibalism. He's a cannibal. Well, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean literally. But they didn't have the understanding or the comprehension of this. So therefore, he shaved it from 70. Now he's down to 12. And even in the midst of 12, there was one that would betray him. So really, we have 11 here. Okay? Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? So watch this. Jesus had an inner circle. And then even out of the 12, he had an inner circle of 3 apostles that he would pour into. Come on, that he would equip and he would raise up to be New Testament pillars. Peter, come on, everybody see if you know this. Peter, James, and John. Okay? Think about this. You can find this in Mark 5 and Luke 8. The raising of the daughter of Jairus from the dead, who was present? Not the 70, not the 12. It was Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. And then there was a transfiguration of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. Who was there with him? Peter, James, and John. And then in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, Christ is travailing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And guess who was there in proximity? Peter, James, and John. So look, watch this. These are huge things. You had the raising of someone from the dead. You had the transfiguration on the Mount where Jesus spoke to Elijah the prophet and Moses. How many believes that's a deep thing of God? Come on, if you said, I saw Elijah the prophet and Moses, that's deep. You go ahead and start sharing that in the church and you'll see how people react to that. And then he begins to travail in intercession to the point where he's sweating great drops of blood and not everyone was permitted to see that, but Peter, James, and John. Come on, there's things in our lives as believers. Here's the bottom line, guys. What gets us from what gets us to seed to pearl? How do we go from seed to pearls? You ready? Hebrews 6. I'm not going to turn there because I got it up here on my screen. Hebrews chapter 6. This is Paul talking to the Hebrews, and listen to what he says. Therefore, this is Paul speaking. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. And that word perfection there is actually a Greek word meaning maturity. Watch this. Let us use it into the terms of a school. You have, when we go to school, we have preschool, we have elementary, we have middle, we have high school, and then we have college. Come on. And Paul's saying, let us leave. It's time for us to leave the discussion of the elementary principles, the elementary principles of Christ, and move to maturity. Come on, move to maturity. In other words, let's go from seed to pearls, guys. Now, I'm going to show you what he says about elementary principles. These are elementary principles of Christ. Laying on the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, of an eternal judgment. Okay? These are considered to be elementary principles of God. But can I be honest with you? When was the last time you went to a full gospel church, whatever, and you hear about these things preached? I mean, guys, most churches today won't even preach on the foundation of repentance from dead works. We do good in the faith towards God. Some of us get the doctrine of baptisms. A lot of churches only preach on the doctrine of baptism, but not baptisms. They only preach one baptism, and that's water baptism, but they never preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Laying on of hands, many churches don't do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, the resurrection of the dead. When was the last time you heard a whole series on the resurrection of the dead or eternal judgment? Okay? And Paul says these are elementary principles. Elementary principles. And Paul's saying, guys, it's time to move on from the milk to the meat. And this is what he says. And this we will do if God permits. Okay? Now listen to this. Let's go to Hebrews. We're going to hang out in Hebrews for a second. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you should be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Come on, seed form. The first principles. And you have come to need, listen to this, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Listen to this. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That's maturity. That is, listen, and he gives you a definition of what that means. And this is in Hebrews 5, verse 14. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I wish I could get up here. This is where I've got to be the bad guy again. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of churches out there that don't have discernment and exercise their senses between both good and evil. You got a lot of churches out there that are mingling in witchcraft, sorcery, New Age, humanism, and they don't even have discernment that they are incorporating these things into their sermons, to their pulpits, into their worship, and even into their doctrine that they're teaching. They have no discernment. Okay? Even in Christian music. You got to be careful. There's a lot of Christian music out there. It sounds good. It'll give you some goosebumps. It'll make your hair stand up, make you feel all good, warm, and fuzzy on the inside. But then when you really break it down, doctrinally speaking, it's not sound scriptural doctrine. Okay? But Paul says, those who have, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil are those ready for the meat. Now I'm going to read this same passage. I'm almost done, guys. Give me about five more minutes. I'm going to read this same thing in the New Living Translation because it's really going to bring this out. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. My goodness. In other words, listen, coming and sitting down and getting fed and getting fed and getting fed and getting fed is good, but there's a time, come on, that you drop your fork, drop your spoon, drop your knife, take off your bib, and get up and start feeding some other folks. Come on, somebody. You can get spiritually fat and get spiritually lazy, and you get to the point where, come on, you know how it is. On Thanksgiving, on Christmas, we sit around and we eat all day and we get apathetic, we get lazy, and we lay on the couch. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to be productive. We don't want to do anything. Come on, anything that's productive. We just want to lay around. And this is what we got in a lot of churches. They show up, they punch the clock, feed me, preacher, feed me, pastor, make me feel good, make me fat, make me plump. I just want you to feed me, get me full so I can go home and sit on the couch and watch football all day long, flip through my channels, and make me feel good about myself. But Paul says you've been believers so long that you should be teaching others. Instead, listen to this. You need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. In other words, you've been saved 25 years and you would think that you would be eating the meat of the word of God. He says, but no, he says, you're like babies. This is what it says, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, New Living Translation. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Now, listen, you think I'm going to waste my time? You think I'm going to waste my time giving pearls to a believer who's been in the church for 25 years? Who sees nothing wrong with looking at pornography. They don't see anything wrong with beating their wife. They don't see anything wrong with smoking a little bud on the weekend. They don't see anything wrong with going to the bar and having a little bit of toddy for the body on the weekends. They don't see anything wrong with delving into witchcraft, getting their palms read, reading their horoscope every day, even though they can't read the word of God. You think for a minute, I'm going to waste my time casting pearls. Now listen, who you think's going to be the first ones that's going to turn around, trample the word of God under the feet and come after you? You think it's going to be the ones that's been in the word, they've been in prayer, they've been in their devotional, they've been praying, they've been fasting, they've been seeking. Come on, they're diligently seeking the word of the Lord to grow and mature in the Lord. Who do you think's going to be? Or the ones over here that they just come to church, punch their clock, do their religious duty, wear the cross around their neck, but they don't have the cross in them and they're not crucified to the Lord. They're not willing to make any effort whatsoever to walk out a sanctified life. I'll let you try to figure out who is going to trample the word under their feet and come after you. I'm going to tell you right now. Let me go on because it's going to answer for you right here. I've got it in my notes right here. The Holy Spirit gave me this and I typed this out the other day. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. Listen to this. This is the church. This is us. He's not talking to them. He's talking to the church. And we've got this problem in the church. We've got a lot of milk drinkers in the church where there should be meat eaters. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. I'm just going to go straight to the New Living Translation for sake of time. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. In other words, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as though you were one of us. I had to talk to you like you belonged to them. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food. because you were not ready for anything stronger. Listen to this. And you still are not ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. Again, you've heard me preach this. It's one thing to struggle with a weakness. It's another thing to practice it and have no desire to be freed from it. You are, come on, it's like the whole R. Kelly thing that's going around. I don't know if you've watched that whole documentary, Surviving R. Kelly. I mean, it's not like that. Nobody knew that this dude was already having issues. It's really sad, guys, when you hear about his testimony. This dude was molested as a child. He was abused as a child. He was introduced to things as a child that opened the door for demonic spirits. And it's no wonder that he's controlled by the same demons that worked through the individuals that performed some lewd things on him when he was just a child. He was exposed to those same demons are now controlling him, and they're manifesting. And it went back decades ago. Come on, it's one thing. And the dude walked away, was found not guilty. You'd think if you were found not guilty, that you'd be like, you know what? Because the dude was raised in church. He sang in the choir, so it's not like he doesn't have an understanding of who God is or have some type of seed in his heart. You would think the guy would be repentant and say, you know what? I messed up bad, and thank you, God, for your mercy. Really, he should be thinking, never mind, I shouldn't even get into this thing. But listen, money can do some extraordinary things. Even Solomon said money answers all things. And the only reason why that dude got out like he did is because of money. But anyway, that was a visitation of mercy. And instead of him grasping that, look what happened. So we're not talking about people that are struggling with something here versus someone who's willfully practicing it. Paul says you're controlled by your sinful nature. You, listen to this, you are jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? Oh, you didn't hear. Let me say it again. You're jealous of one another. You're arguing with one another. You're contentious. You're quarreling with one another. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the world? And friends, this is what irks me when you go on these social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, you go into the forums, you go into the chat sessions, you go into the comment section. And friends, the world is looking on, and they're seeing the church just cutting each other down. They're just strife, discord, dissension, jealousies, all this stuff. And I'm telling you, Paul the Apostle said, you're being controlled by your sinful nature, and it's a bunch of milk bottle sucking believers and not meat eaters. Jude 17, 19, and I'm going to close with this. Jude 17, 19. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days. Listen to this. There would be mockers in the last day who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Listen to this. This one blew me away when I read this. Jude 17, 19. These are sensual, fleshly people who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Oh, I'm gonna say a controversial subject here. Listen, I truly believe if you profess to know Christ and you've really been filled with the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit is going to work on you to get you from milk to meat and from seed to the pearls. I'm going to say that again. If you're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, brother, I'm saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm sanctified. Hallelujah. But then you go right out to the grocery store and cuss everybody out, and the clerk too. Cuss people out in the parking lot because they took your spot. You're picking fights with people. You're going on social media outlets and cussing everybody out, yet you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I begin to question that, because my Bible says that the people who are prone to cause divisions and strife and discord, not only are they sensual people, but they don't have the Spirit of God. Does not the Spirit of God testify in being that there would be fruits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith? He said these would be evident. By their fruits you will know them. So I'm trying to tell you, friends, I'm trying to save you some heartache. Listen, seed, if you don't get anything out of this message, get this. The seed of the gospel, the seed of the word of God is for everyone. But the pearls, the deep things of God, the deep mysteries of God, it is not for everyone. And this is why, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's things that I don't share on ETH, on Facebook, on the website. I don't share these things because I am not going to cast my pearls before swine. Guys, there's been dreams I've been given of the Lord. There's things that the Lord has spoken to me. And there is no way I'm going to share and cast my pearls before swine so that some dogs and swine can get on social media, get on their YouTube account, get on their website, and begin to tear me apart because they are sensual individuals, probably not having the Spirit of God, and they don't have the fear of God, and they can just go and attack any man or woman of God. So guys, use discernment, use wisdom. When you, some of you that are teachers, some of you that are Bible study group leaders, cell group leaders, you maybe you're a pastor, should know this by now, evangelist, whatever the case may be. Friends, you could save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of anguish if you begin to discern and recognize when to cast your pearls, when to sow the seed, and when not to, and who to do it, and which group to do that for. So again, I hope you've enjoyed this. I know this is not a continuation of our prayer and fasting series, but this is a word that was quickened in my spirit a couple days ago, and I wanted to share this with you today. We are going to be signing off. Before we do that, as always, we want to give you an opportunity, guys, to support this ministry. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing, it's a word of, if it's a place of encouragement, edification, information, whatever the case may be, and you want to partner with us, you want to sow a gift of any amount to this ministry, you can go under Facebook Live right there under Support ETH. Just click on that link. It'll take you to a page where you can do that, and you can be and just be obedient to what the Holy Ghost speaks to you to do. You guys watching by YouTube, at the end of this broadcast, you'll find more about that information there on how you can partner with us as well. Again, don't forget, you guys are on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, don't forget to share this. You guys on Facebook Live here, don't forget, we are on YouTube. That's where all of our messages are archived. All of you guys, YouTube and Facebook, or wherever you watch this, you can subscribe to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Just under free daily digest right there on Facebook Live, just click on that link. It'll take you there so you can do that. You guys are watching by other facets that are watching this. Just endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you go there, you're going to see a place where you can click on subscribe. And you just put in your name and your email subscription. Just click it and you're good. You'll get one digest every single day. So we're going to sign off today. We're going to take off tomorrow, which is Thursday. We will be back on here Friday, and we will continue our series on prayer and fasting. I hope many of you are receiving breakthroughs. You're receiving answer to prayer. You're receiving healings in your bodies. You're receiving miracles. Listen, if God's moving on your behalf through this time of the season of prayer and fasting, please let us know. Contact us, endtimeheadlines@yahoo.com, endtimeheadlines@yahoo.com. You guys on Facebook, just message us on Facebook, under our Facebook page. Share with us the good things and great things that God's doing. You guys that do not have a church home, again, we do not pull sheep from other folds. If by whatever means, whether it be physical, whether or spiritual, whatever the means, if you do not have a church home, we want to invite you to join our ETH online community church. Again, you guys on YouTube, if you go to our website, you're going to see where you can click on that little, there's a little banner. It says that ETH community church. Click on there and you'll have to submit an application to join there. We don't just let anybody come in there. Come on, we got to use wisdom. But you guys on Facebook, we'll try to put the link up there in the comment section of this as well. And we just invite you in to be a part of our family. Listen, we pray for one another. We laugh with one another. We cry on each other's shoulders. We're just a big family that love one another and pray for one another. We are the church. We're the ecclesia. So, and I understand there's some of you that you physically cannot have a home church, and we get that. And that's why we want to make that opportunity. Or maybe you do have a home church, but you just want to be a part of a group of other interbelievers that are like-minded and to have a support team, whatever the case may be. We invite you to do that. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you on Friday.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org. where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.